Our scripture this morning comes from the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. God, guide us as you're summoning us to go.
Amen. Good morning, Faith Westwood. And happy St. Patrick's Day to those who are worshiping in person as well as those who are worshiping online today. Now, Holy Week does begin next Sunday, March 24th, with our Palm Sunday parade and those donkeys. Now, we don't want you to miss any of the special services. On site, you may pick up a schedule on the tables outside of the worship center, or all may visit faithwestwood.com/Easter2024 to get that up-to-date schedule. And also check out the Monday Faith Connect email because that will have additional information. And don't forget on your way out today, pick up an invite so that you can invite someone to come to our Easter services. Now in this Lenten season, we are embracing those times in the gospel where Jesus says, "Go." We've already reflected on the stories where Jesus conquers, forgives, frees, feeds, and heals. Now today, when Jesus summons a blind man, he experiences healing and is invited to go as his faith has healed him. What the blind man does next has inspired followers of Jesus for generations. So will you follow Jesus too? In that spirit, please join me in prayer. Almighty God, open our ears that we may hear your word. Open our eyes that we may see your glory in our midst. And open our hearts that we might know your Spirit's presence with us in these moments. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Do you have a heart song? Let me ask that again. Do you have a heart song? It's one of those songs that speaks to your mind, heart, and spirit in such a way that truly moves you. It may be one of the great hymns of the faith. It may be a contemporary Christian song. Or it may even be a secular song. Now, since I was a little girl, my heart song has been "How Great Thou Art." There is just something about that song that connects me with my faith. And confirmands who are present today, I want you to think about your own heart song because we're going to be talking about that at confirmation class this afternoon. Now, for this past year, there is a secular song that has intrigued me. The song is titled, "What Was I Made For?" And it's actually from the Barbie movie. No spoilers, yet the movie is about Barbie's understanding of the world and of herself. Now, I have since learned that the director, Greta Gerwig, invited Billie Eilish and her brother Phineas to create Barbie's heart song. Now, Billie said that writing this song came at a very important time in her life, too. Now, in this award season, the song won the Golden Globe Award for Best Original Song, it won the Grammy Award for Song of the Year, and it won the Academy Award for Best Music Original Song. Apparently, the song hit a chord with many people. Now, here is the last verse of the song. "Think I forgot how to be happy, something I'm not, but something I can be, something I wait for, something I'm made for, something I'm made for. Like I said, these songs move us, and yet these heart songs also speak to our identity and our connection with God and with one another. As we meet blind Bartimaeus on the road begging today, we might not know whether he had a heart song, but we do know that he was ready to embrace a new way of being and doing. I have to say, this really is one of my favorite gospel stories. I appreciate the way that the gospel writer Mark presents his version of the stories. There's always action, and most often it is immediate, right? Immediately this happened, and immediately this happened. Mark always invites the reader to go all in when it comes to believing in the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. Now, in its simplicity, our focus passage invites us to enter into the scene ourselves. So as we engage in the text, we will also reflect on some important questions that help us to claim how Jesus summons us too. Now, the gospel reminds us that the disciples are entering into Jericho. In the Old Testament, this is the place where Joshua and God's people marched around 7 times and the walls came a-tumbling down. In the New Testament, this is the place where an innocent man was heading when he was robbed, and then a good Samaritan helped him. Jericho is commonly known as the City of Palm Trees, the oldest city in the world. Located northwest of the Dead Sea, Jericho has been a very important location historically, culturally, and politically. As Jesus and the disciples and a large crowd were then leaving the city, they encountered a blind man who was sitting by the roadside begging. The fact that the man was begging at this particular location was not uncommon. Being on the edge of Jericho would have provided access to many travelers. In this story, you and I learned the blind man's name was Bartimaeus. He was the son of Timaeus. And yet we don't have any details about his condition. Blindness. We do not know if he was born blind or became blind from an accident. We do not know how old or young this man was at this time. Now, being blind, though, meant that it was very difficult for Bartimaeus to make a living for himself, so he was completely dependent upon the generosity of others. We can imagine that there were people who knew Bartimaeus and his family as they passed by. Perhaps they even knew his backstory. Perhaps they even paused to engage him in a little conversation and maybe a little teasing here and there. But whatever hopes and dreams that Bartimaeus left behind because of his blindness, this was his life now, begging. And he simply could not see. Do you think that he ever wondered, is this as good as it gets? So where are you on the road? I want you to take a few moments, and I want you to imagine your Jericho. Imagine that place of your backstory. What are the things that happened there that shaped you and made you who you are? Are there hopes and dreams that you have been forced to leave behind because of those circumstances in your life? Maybe it would also be helpful to recognize that there's a little bit of Bartimaeus in each one of us. Meaning that you and I might find ourselves unable to see what life has dealt us and how it shapes our present as well as our future. We may find ourselves trying to get comfortable with the idea that there are moments that this may be as good as it gets. And yet again, is this really as good as it gets? According to our passage, something shifts within the spirit of Bartimaeus. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth that was passing by, he shouted, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And we learned something more about Bartimaeus. He claimed that the Messiah had come. He trusted in him fully. He knows what the prophets foretold. He believes that this Messiah can bring miraculous healing of his body, his mind, and his spirit. And then something odd happens. The people actually rebuke him and tell him to be quiet. Now, why in the world would the people try to stop him? This isn't like the story that we heard a couple of weeks ago when the paralyzed man's friends broke through the roof. Remember, they dug through the roof to get to Jesus. So maybe this scene needs to puzzle us a little bit. Have you ever wondered what was motivating the crowds in those moments? Were they comfortable in their little life with the blind man begging? Perhaps it made them feel good to help him out. Perhaps he was part of their regular routine as they traveled in and out of Jericho. Or perhaps the people who were telling him to be quiet had absolutely, positively no connection with the blind man. They just didn't want him to interrupt their own potential moment with Jesus. Now, even though they told him to be quiet, their words did not deter Bartimaeus, as he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, honestly, he did something that needs to speak to us. He cried out at the right time and the right place. He seized that opportunity to receive mercy, to relieve him of that which was keeping him dependent upon others, unable to see the world around him as well as to see Jesus. So why are you crying out? Now, some of you may say right now, "Pastor, I'm good. I don't need to be crying out anything to Jesus." And yet there may be others in person or even those online that recognize they need some attention in their life. Do you need a little more faith, more hope, more patience? Do you need a little or even a lot of mercy? The scripture reminds us that we certainly can cry out to Jesus. We can call upon his name and he hears us every single time. Of course, we know that not all prayers are answered in the ways that we would want. Physical healing is not always possible, is it? And yet there can be mental and emotional healing. And there is always spiritual healing that is available to us. And then, surrounded by that crowd, Jesus stops and says, "Call him." And at this, the people called to Bartimaeus, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." And notice how Mark says that throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and he went to Jesus. Now, Bartimaeus's cloak was important to him. It was something that he could wear around his shoulders, kind of like a prayer shawl. It was something that he could lay on the ground and he could sit upon. It provided protection for him from the elements. And it also provided a place of collection for the gifts that were given to him. Now, legend tells us that it may have even been the only possession that he had. And it might have been the one thing that gave him license to beg. So I want you to imagine what it looked like. And I want you to imagine what it may have even sounded like when he threw it aside. Now, jumping to his feet and going to Jesus, he knew that he wasn't going to be needing that cloak any longer. Everything that he imagined Jesus to be was standing right in front of him. And Jesus asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Scholar N.T. Wright says that this means something like, "Do you, Bartimaeus, want to give up begging? Do you want to have to live differently, to work for a living, to have no reason to sit by the roadside all day crying out to passersby?" And in response to this, the blind man says, "Rabbi, I want to," what? "See." He is stating that he does not want to be blind Bartimaeus sitting on the side of the road begging anymore. He wants to see. Now, without any of these details in the story, we can only imagine what he wanted to see. His friends, his family, the food that he ate, the scenery along that dusty road of Jericho, maybe even those palm trees that the city was known for. "Rabbi, I want to see." Bartimaeus is so clear about what he desires from Jesus. And then Jesus says, "Go, your faith has healed you." And immediately Bartimaeus received his sight. His faith in Jesus healed him. Yet it wasn't just his faith that stands out. It is also his courage, his maturity, his witness of true discipleship. So what do you want Jesus to do for you? If Jesus was standing right in front of you, right at this moment, and if he said, "What do you want me to do for you?" how would you respond? Would you ask for physical healing? Would you ask for mental or emotional healing? Or would you ask for spiritual healing? Maybe it would even be a combination of those. For Bartimaeus to receive his sight, you and I realize that no matter where you are on the road, no matter why or what you are crying out, and no matter what you need Jesus to do for you, he wants to heal you. In fact, if you're feeling lost, Jesus says that you can be found in his grace and love. If you're feeling defeated, Jesus wants to remind you that there is victory in the kingdom. If you're feeling tired or weary, Jesus says, "Come to me." If you're grieving the losses that you've experienced, Jesus says, "I will give you peace." If you are struggling with your way of doing things, Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life." And if you just want to see, Jesus will give you sight and vision. Of course, there's a little more to this good news today, right? The last verse of the passage says, "Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road." This fact is essential to the story. Physical sight was restored, and yet spiritual sight was indeed a gift to Bartimaeus. We imagine that there were people and things that Bartimaeus wanted to see once he regained his sight. Yet there wasn't any hesitation in what he did next. He followed Jesus along the road. Okay, now on one hand, we could imagine that his response is out of gratitude for what Jesus did for him. Yet on the other hand, we may need to read between the lines. For Jesus and the disciples, Jericho is on the road and on the way to Jerusalem. For the Gospel of Mark, in the next chapter and verse, Jesus enters Jerusalem to make his triumphal entry. Bible commentaries agree that the location of this story in Mark, the first gospel written, suggests that there is something deeper to this story. Jesus summons Bartimaeus to offer healing to him. Yet many scholars and pastors claim that this is a call story. Let's revisit verse 49. There is a form of the word call there three times. First, with Jesus stopping and saying, "Call him." Then a reminder that the crowd called to the blind man saying, "He's calling you." When Jesus summons, Bartimaeus stands in front of Jesus, son of David, who had mercy on him and healed him. His cloak was already thrown aside. Obviously, Bartimaeus wants a new life. So his old hopes and dreams were thrown aside as well. Bartimaeus not only received his sight, but he received the chance, the opportunity to do whatever he wanted next. And he chose to follow Jesus. He chose to make Jesus' way his way. Billy Graham once said, "When we come to Christ, we're no longer the most important person in the world. Christ is. Instead of living only for ourselves, we have a higher goal, to live for Jesus." Now, we may not know if Bartimaeus had a heart song, yet we do know that he may have forgotten how to be happy. He may have forgotten what he was made for. Even so, Bartimaeus found that something that he was waiting for. He found what he was made for, to follow Jesus. What about you? Jesus offers you healing and hope. He offers you a new life and a new path. Will you follow him? Will you muster up your faith, your courage, your maturity, and your true discipleship to follow Jesus to Jerusalem? Mark challenges in his gospel that it is worth it. Because when Jesus says go, do you remember what happens? People respond, and lives are transformed. Jesus summons. So will you follow him along the road, like Bartimaeus? Amen. Would you join me in prayer? Almighty and gracious and loving God, we come before you this day. We meet blind Bartimaeus on the road. That was his identity. That's what he was known for. But God, we learn that that identity wasn't going to stop him from crying out for what he needed from Jesus. And when Jesus asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Bartimaeus says that he wants to see. God, it's a beautiful metaphor that reminds us that it's not just about physical sight, it's about spiritual sight, to be able to see Jesus and to respond to his summons, his call in our lives. But God, sometimes it's hard. We're comfortable in our own little roadside corner of our world. God, we want to follow Jesus with all that we are and all that we have, but that means we may have to throw our proverbial cloak aside. We may have to throw aside our own hopes and dreams. God, that's hard to do. And yet still Jesus summons. Bartimaeus inspires us with his new identity, with his new life before him. He's immediately healed, and immediately he follows Jesus along the road. Maybe Bartimaeus knew where it was going to take him. Maybe he didn't, but he still followed. On this Sunday before Palm Sunday, God, you summon us. You invite us to follow Jesus along the way, along that road to Jerusalem, where Jesus will enter as a king, the place where he will die as our Savior. So God, stir in our hearts. Help us to cry out to you what we need most today. And may we long for that spiritual sight that recognizes Jesus right in front of us. Gracious God, all of this we bring to you. In the name of the Son of Man, the Son of David, who would teach his disciples a family prayer that we join together saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.